We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beagle and Parkin Show.
To be the head coach of the founding franchise in the National Football League, how much do you know about the history of the Bears?
Well, I feel like I know a good amount. You know, this might bring out my youth a little bit, but I do remember one of the first Super Bowls is seeing the Super Bowl against the Patriots, you know, and I, you know, obviously, you know, the history of where this team is at. You asked me a question, maybe won't you test me and see? I don't know. You have a question for me?
I don't think you want that.
Matt Spiegel, Danny Parkins, middays on The Score.
What a gangster move by Dan Pompey.
Last guy I would want quizzing me on Bears history.
Yeah.
Absolute last guy on the depth chart that I want quizzing me.
He's a Hall of Fame voter. He's covered the NFL for more than three decades. He's one of our many football insiders here at The Score. What up, gangster Dan Pompey?
Good afternoon, fellas. That was a fun moment yesterday from the press conference, and I think we all kind of walked away from the press conference with a smile on our face. Matt Nagy is the feel-good coach of the Bears now, right?
Yeah. So, what was your question going to be? Like, if you, what was the trivia question you were going to ask him?
Well, you know, I could have asked him how many yards Speedy Feather ran for in his rookie season or something like that, but that wouldn't have been very nice.
Yeah, that's final Jeopardy. Like what's in the first round?
You know, what's interesting is that yes, the vibes were really good. The conversation, I bet around there, Dan, was really interesting, and people kind of getting to know the guy. And aside from like how that matters to the media and that kind of. Like, you're getting a window on what the guy is like. And I think he was trying really hard to be real, and you actually got a window into what he was like yesterday, didn't you?
I think you did. You know, I think I walked away thinking that he's a likable guy. He's got charisma. He's got a disarming smile. I think he's genuine. You know, I didn't get the impression that he was pretentious or full of himself in any way, shape, or form. Actually, I wrote a column for The Athletic that we just posted about how, you know, the press conference was all well and good, but I don't know that we really know the things that we need to know about Matt Nagy yet, you know, because he hasn't really had the body of work that you need to know about for a head coach, and obviously you're not going to find those things out in a 40-minute press conference. So there's a lot of things that we need to see from him moving forward, and we're only going to really know this guy as time goes on and as we see him do his job.
So what do you want to learn? Like, what do you want to know? You don't have to give away the whole column if you don't want to, but, I mean, what top questions left for Matt Nagy?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things, Danny. I think, you know, first and foremost, I want to see him be a head coach. I think, you know, there's often a temptation with a guy like him to come in because the reason he was hired is because he was an offensive coordinator and a quarterback's guy, and he still is an offensive coordinator and a quarterback's guy as a head coach. Obviously, you don't want to take away his strength, but he has to be more than that. Now he has to be in charge of the whole team. He has to have his hands on the special teams, on the defense, and everything that goes on in the building. You know, that's his job. I think he needs to hire strong assistants, experienced assistants. I think it's very important that he gets Vic Fangio back here because Fangio, first of all, is one of the very best defensive coordinators in the league, but also, I think you know, the credibility that he would bring or you would have from retaining him is huge. You would have continuity with Fangio. And I think you need more experience than him, too. You know, I'd like to see him be an innovator and think outside the box. You know, I'd like to see him be aware of and honor Bears tradition and know what the Bears are about. You know, there's a lot of things, I think, moving forward, as I wrote about in the column that people can read at The Athletic.
just retweeted the column from my account there at Matt Spiegel 670 as we talk here to Dan Pompey. Yeah, we will get to know some of that stuff. And the staff is very interesting. I agree with you about Fangio very much because he's going to call plays. Matt Nagy wants to call plays and scheme the offense, and we want him to do that. So he needs to really be able to just hand over that defense. Other job opportunities out there for Fangio, maybe Arizona. There's a rumor of Miami, but I mean, there's not that many jobs out there. And so tell us what you think about that. And is there any way in hell that Dave Tobe would go laterally back to Chicago?
Well, I mean, if he's, I don't know what his contract status is. I'm assuming he's under contract, so, you know, that's not going to happen. They're not going to let him go.
To go lateral.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. He'd have to, the only way to hit for him to get out of contract is if he becomes a head coach. So that's not going to happen. But, you know, I think, you know, there would be possibilities for Fangio, and there might not be necessarily possibilities that we're even considering right now. I don't think all the shuffling of assistant coaches is over yet. I think there's going to be more moves that we haven't seen. We saw this morning that Chris Richard is probably going to leave the Seahawks. You know, and I wonder if Fangio did not come back to the Bears, I would not be surprised if Richard became a candidate for the Bears, which would not be the end of the world. But, you know, the question is, if you did not get Fangio back, who would you replace him with? What kind of person would come in here? And, you know, would he have the complete confidence of Matt Nagy and management and the players?
Dan Pompey is our guest here on The Score. In terms of Fangio's out there, right? Nagy needs to build a staff. He said yesterday that he's very confident in his ability to put a staff together. What makes it, like, do you have any insight into who you think will be on it in terms of guys retained, anything like that?
Well, you know, these guys know long before they start hiring who their assistants likely are going to be, because the process begins months ago. You know, it goes like this: if I get a job, would you be interested in joining me? And the person says yes or no. And you know, they've all got like depth charts. I've actually seen them. Like a guy who's a head coaching candidate will have a depth chart of assistants. So you know, at offensive coordinator, he'll have six guys. At quarterbacks coach, six guys. You know, running backs coach, maybe he's got five guys there. Wide receivers coach, 10 guys, whatever. And, you know, you go through your list. This is my first choice, my second choice, my third choice. And, you know, depending on availability and other options for those people, they end up with a staff that, you know, they envisioned long ago. And, you know, I've heard some really interesting names who he's talking to, and I'm not at liberty to say them yet, but I think it could be an interesting staff, very interesting staff, one maybe that you wouldn't always expect to have.
Well, there's a tease right there, Danny.
don't say anything if Andy Heck is going to be the next offensive line coach.
I mean, we've looked around and seen that Andy Heck in Kansas City is a line coach. Maybe
what if Andy's the next left tackle? You know, that happened once before in Chicago. Maybe it'll happen again.
Or maybe the OC if he's ready to step up. But that's interesting because look, he's you know, we're all going to be looking around looking for guys that were on the Andy Reid tree that might be somewhat like-minded. Daryl Bevel, you mentioned Seattle. Bevel was with Brad Childress in Minnesota. You think that's a name that would come up?
I think I'd be surprised. You know, I think you can't always just lock into the assistants that he's worked with before or the guys who were in the same offense. You know, I think one of the interesting things to me about Matt Nagy is that he came from the Andy Reid system, but I think he kind of evolved the Andy Reid system. He pushed the Andy Reid system into a place where it hadn't been previously. So what do we know about what kind of offense he's going to run with the Bears? Is it going to be, I'm sure it's going to be foundationally like the Andy Reid system, the West Coast system, but in terms of the actual plays that he's calling and the matchups he's trying to create and the things he's doing, it could be very different. It could be, this is his offense. It's not Andy Reid's offense anymore. So I think, we might be a little surprised. We'll see.
I like that idea. I like all the run-pass options that he urged into the Andy Reid offense and the Alex Smith comfort level that increased along with performance. All right, so Alex Smith is the next offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears once he retires.
Or the backup quarterback or something, right? That's going to be an interesting scenario, too, to see if Smith has moved. He's going to be a starter, I'm sure, in the league somewhere next year. And obviously that won't be in Chicago. But obviously he's a guy who did get along very well with Matt, and they had a great chemistry together. So who knows?
If Mitch Trubisky, his career became Alex Smith's career, would you say that's a success?
Well, I would think that he would have to have success more quickly than Alex Smith did, because Smith bounced around for a few years and struggled and really didn't find his groove until probably late in his days in San Francisco, and then obviously when he went to Kansas City, he was kind of reborn. It's interesting. I think the Bears certainly hope that Trubisky is more than that. I think the hiring of Matt Nagy is another indication of how all in the Bears are in developing Trubisky, because I think, I don't know this for a fact, but I would not be surprised if Nagy was the head coach candidate of all the ones they spoke with, who was the most enamored with Trubisky and the one who they believe is the best suited to develop him. So I know Ryan Pace obviously talked about the other aspects of Nagy's candidacy and how he thinks he's a leader and all the other things he can do. But I still think that's a big deal, because this team is really built to develop Trubisky, and it's all in on their quarterback.
We started yesterday thinking about, Dan, the fact that this is day one in the wide open window to try and win a Super Bowl with, the advantage of having Trubisky on the rookie contract, and you've got coach and GM aligned with the same time frame, going to have one cohesive mindset. You don't have to worry about John Fox trying to get wins or any of that stuff, real or perceived. This should be a massive offseason for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy to work together. Do you expect, free agent wide receiver or two, maybe a free agent offensive lineman, seriously bulking up the offense to enable Trubisky?
Yeah, I think that's the next step, is to build around him. Obviously, they've got to worry about some of their own players who are free agents and losing them and figuring out who fits and who doesn't. There might be some decent players who are casualties of the system change or changes, depending on what happens on defense. There's going to be a lot of moving pieces, I'm sure. It will be interesting to see if they are a little more cautious in free agency this year than they were a year ago, after sticking their hand in the fire and getting burned a little bit and blowing a lot of money. There are some lessons to be learned, without a doubt, with what happened last season and, the lack of productivity they got from so many free agents. You have to look at who's available. You don't want to just spend for the sake of spending or spend for the sake of a feel-good splash. You want to get guys who you really believe can help. And I think, last off-season, what happened a little bit is they were unable to get some of the guys at the top of the market who they identified as guys who really could be difference makers. And, they went out and they spent anyway on guys who were maybe on a lower tier, and those guys didn't, most of them did not play up to expectations.
Dan Pompey with us on The Score, NFL Insider. You can read his column on Matt Nagy at The Athletic. Obviously, our pregame show and Hall of Fame voter, and this year, Hall of Fame presenter in terms of in the room to the 48 voters on Brian Urlacher's candidacy. Have you started working on it? What does that entail?
I've been working on it since the day he retired.
So you've known that you were going to be the guy presenting him in the room that long?
Well, assuming that I still was doing this, yeah. Okay. So So, but I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing, Danny, that you, as you go along the trail of a guy's career, you kind of pick up acorns wherever you find them and stick them in your back pocket. And you never know when you'll need those acorns, but they're there. So, you know, I've been around Urlacher from the time he was a rookie, and I've been able to talk to a lot of people over the last few years about him. So I've got, I think I've got a pretty good body of evidence, and I hope that the other board of selectors see the his candidacy the way I do, because I think, he's a slam dunk this year and should be elected along with the other four other modern era candidates and two senior candidates and maybe a contributor.
What's your record as a presenter, Danny? Dan Pompey?
Oh, you would have to bring that up, wouldn't you, Matt?
I'm just curious.
Well, the only other player I've ever presented is Richard Dent, and I believe I did the first. I want to say the first two times I presented him, he did not get in. And the third time he did.
Well, we'll do better this time. What's the best acorn you have? You said you've been collecting them. What? Give us a nugget. Give us an acorn.
You know, I might have mentioned this to you before, but I'll mention it again because I think it's powerful. There are in the history of the league. There's only let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players who have won Defensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and played in at least 8 Pro Bowls. Brian Urlacher is one. The others, Mean Joe Green, Jack Lambert, Lawrence Taylor, and Charles Woodson.
Wow.
So he's in very rare elite company. And I think you know that speaks to his Hall of Fame candidacy. I'll give you one more, too. He had 41.5 sacks and 22 interceptions. There's only one of the middle linebacker in history who's had as many of each, and that happens to be Ray Lewis. So, again, very, very, very elite company.
Wow, that's interesting. So 41 and 22 for a guy who's known more as a tackler, right, and a retreater in the cover, too, obviously.
Yeah. Well, he was a playmaker is what he was, you know. And I always remember when he came into the league, the way he was used with Dick Geron and Greg Blosch. You know, at that time they had the big defensive linemen who were covering up the offensive lineman and allowing him to kind of run free and make plays around the line of scrimmage. And he was so good at that, you know, and he was getting sacks and he was getting tackles for a loss and making a lot of plays around the line of scrimmage. And then Lovie came in and changed it, and he made him play more in the back third of the field, and he became more of a pass defender, and he was great at that too. I mean, I think it speaks to his versatility and his ability and his way of being able to do whatever he was asked. I know Dick Geron, I once talked to him about it, and he remained convinced that Urlacher could have been an NFL safety if he wanted him to be. At 6'5", 258 pounds. I mean, that just tells you what an unusual ability he had. But then in addition to that, I think the thing that really put him over the top was his ability to understand what offenses were doing, communicate it to his teammates, and get everyone lined up and really just have tremendous instincts about what was happening. He was rare in that regard, as rare as he was physically.
Well, our money's on you to get it done. First time out on this.
Yeah, no pressure, Dan.
No pressure at all. No. Well, it's you know what? It's not. It's really. It's Brian Urlacher's career that will get him in. It's not Dan Pompey. So
you got our heads spinning on the coaches too. I'm thinking somebody with college ties, somebody with old Bears ties, non West Coast. Urban Meyer is going to retire.
We'll see. It's going to be fun.
Thank you, Dan.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's Dan Pompey from The Athletic, The Score, Bears pregame and Hall of Fame voter, and this year presenter for Brian Urlacher.
I love the Andy Heck thought. We mentioned him the other day, offensive line coach in Kansas City and former Bear. Eric Bieniemy just got promoted to offensive coordinator there. I don't know if Andy Heck wanted that. But, yeah, somebody with ties to what Alex Smith has been doing and what Matt Nagy's been doing with him. Could be very interesting.
Texter writes in, you keep saying run pass option. What's the difference between that and calling an audible at the line? Run pass option is not the ability to audible from a run to a pass, but it's the idea of after the snap, the quarterback makes the read literally as the play is going and whether or not to hand the ball off or to throw the ball.
We see it in college a lot, and you've seen it in the pros. The ball goes into that mesh point where it's in the running back's arms, and he doesn't even know whether he's keeping it. Or not.
Right. It's the quarterback's decision post snap on whether to execute the running play mm-hmm. or the passing play. Usually the offensive line, I believe, is blocking for the run play, right?
Right.
But the receivers are running for the pass play.
Right.
And you go that way.
And there's usually either two run plays and one pass play or two pass plays and one run play. There's like three options for the quarterback post snap, which is crazy, but it tends to work.
And another piece of NFL draft news that is interesting but expected completely. Calvin Ridley has officially declared for the draft. The receiver from Alabama might be the top receiver in the draft. Very polished player, 23 years old,
Whew.
Is going to be the thing that people need to look at with Calvin Ridley. Did not play with great quarterbacks, though. Like, remember that when you judge him. Does not play with good quarterbacks at Alabama.
No, I know. Knowing that, I still look for wide receivers, I look for, like, the athleticism or something about them to jump off the screen, and it never really has for Calvin Ridley for me in quite the remarkable elite way that other Alabama receivers have looked. Amari Cooper, Julio Jones, etc.
Right, but so they have that lineage, and he's probably not that in terms of specimen, but in terms of the technicality and he's
ready.
That's what they say. Ready. Rookie contributor as a wide receiver is kind of rare. They think that he would be able to contribute. Coming up next, I want to play my favorite piece of audio from yesterday by far. And it was a result of the Matt Nagy press conference on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mark Grody.
All right.
How's it going, Mark?
What's going on, guys?
You know, Mark Grody, when you got the Cubs job 3 years ago,
yeah.
I remember thinking, wow, I didn't even realize Grody was a big baseball guy.
Right.
I got to say, I hadn't thought about that or remembered that feeling because now I associate you so much with the gig. But you're a Bears meatball, my friend.
Which a hat... which I may have to quell just a little bit.
Right.
But for anyone who doesn't know the news, I'm disappointed it wasn't in your own update.
Yeah.
There's been an internal intercom trade, Mark Grody and Zach Zaidman flipping roles. So what's going on, Mark?
I knew it was coming, but I did wake up to it today. I thought it was going to hit during the afternoon today, like at some point in time, but I wake up. You guys have had this moment where you wake up and you have the 20 plus sign on your Twitter account.
Yeah.
And it's just all over the place. So I will say, honestly, I have, like, this is not a cop out answer. I have exactly mixed emotions over this whole thing. I'm thrilled. Like, the mm-hmm. like I say, if the Bears and the Cubs job had come up at the same time 3 years ago, it would not have been a slam dunk either way. But the way this all went down, I'm very excited to be. I mean, it's the Bears, so, and I am a Bears meatball, which I'm going to have to tone down a little bit. But I'm excited about it.
Appreciate you sharing the realness of the mixed.
Of course.
Less travel.
Less
travel for you in terms of lifestyle.
Right. I'll be able to maintain my girlfriend, probably. I probably will be with her.
Well, if you don't, I mean, it won't be because of your job.
Yeah. Well, you know, it did cost. Like, it's one of those things where, yes, quality of life suddenly returns to normal. I have my summers back, which is incredibly good. I'll be traveling 8 times a year now as opposed to whatever it was. You guys do the math.
Yeah, it was a lot of trips.
Right. Every other week you're getting on a plane. And I mean, like, I had a blast with the Cubs. There's no doubt about it. Love just about every day of doing the job. I mean, a job's a job sometimes, but it was terrific. And I could not have asked for 3 better years in terms of what the Cubs did on the field.
Yeah, your timing was good.
Yeah, the timing was pretty good. So I did everything I could do with the Cubs, and now I'm going to straighten out the Bears.
Well, you know, we were inventing a new stat, the Grody. You could be one of, like, a very small list of people, because of the crossover in seasons, to have a World Series ring and a Super Bowl ring.
Would it look tacky to have two rings on one hand walking through the hall?
It looks tacky with one.
It kind of does, I know.
Will you, when holding a microphone for WBBM Bears broadcasts, be wearing a Cubs World Series ring?
Ooh, no, I will not be because, Spiegel, after this year, I'll be wearing a Bears Super Bowl ring.
Oh, look at that.
There's the answer.
It's a solid answer. Actually, your timing could be really good for the Bears.
See, now when I did start with the Cubs, they had a really bad year the year previous. They brought in a new manager, Joe Maddon. This year, I'm a rookie with the Bears, as is Matt Nagy. So I assume everything will work out exactly as it did with the Cubs.
I have no reason to believe that it won't.
Right. So give me 2 years. This year, the Cubs will... Or the Bears will go to the NFC title game, perhaps lose, and then they'll go and win the Super Bowl the year after.
Well, you'll have to put away the foam finger, the giant foam Bears finger.
And now I can wear my Cubs hat.
There you go.
Now I can actually, you know, it's funny because like the Bears were the sort of last team that I kept the fan finger for, like I like openly rooted for the Bears, like I had that outlet, like, because I've never really, you know, when I worked at WBBM, I would cover the Bears from time to time, but it was just pure enjoyment for me. Now it's a different animal.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
You're in a different role than we are. Like, we can admit fandom no problem, but you do actual reporting.
Well, and everybody knows I'm a fan, but I'm going to have to step up the objective game. That's all.
All right.
You know?
Of course. So,
yeah, it's hard to put into words what's going on here, guys, but...
You've done it. Appreciate you sharing it, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to be as open about this as possible.
Wishing you well, and assuming that you get some time off here.
Yeah, well, my off season just got extended. So instead of having to go to work in February, now I pretty much got till July.
What's it like to be traded? Were there cash considerations? Was there a future pick?
I can't get into all the details on that.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I came out on top, though. So, feeling pretty good.
All right, good for you. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
That awkward inquisition was brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Still taking your child's temperature the way it was done decades ago. Upgrade to the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. The Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer available at fine retailers everywhere.
And we'll make the joke so Mark doesn't have to. There's no way the McCaskies would be as generous with rings as the Ricketts's were.
True.
Absolutely no chance.
It doesn't even matter that they're not cheap and that's a complete bot job.
No, just that nobody will do what the Cubs did.
No.
Nobody.
Bears win a Super Bowl and Grody doesn't get a ring is now my new rooting interest.
Right. Like, I'm not sure if Joniak would get a ring. I'm not sure.
No.
You know?
Nor should he.
Frankly, I'm not sure. Depending on how well he plays, I'm not sure if Jordan Howard will get a ring. You know what I mean? Like, they're gonna draw a line somewhere. And it might be before Grody.
I think we've invented a new stat, the Grody.
The Grody.
Right, you have some audio that you want to play. I have some audio that I want to play from yesterday. We'll do that before transition next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right. That was part of a description from Ryan Pace yesterday, Danny, about the roles of Ted Phillips and George McCaskey. They were sounding boards at the end of each interview. They would talk about stuff, but then he talked about the whirlwind tour and, with a grin, some of the excursions that the three of them took along the way. Happy to share with you sometime in a private moment. I now officially want to get Ryan Pace drunk and hear what he, George, and Ted did on the road.
I'm sure that Biggs and Campbell and Johns and Wiederer and all those guys will be asking off to the side as to what those excursions might have been.
What do you imagine as you picture Ted, George, and Ryan in a rental car, or you know, in a private jet, and then a rental car, and you know, going to strip clubs,
playing Uno. Well, because the wives were along.
Oh yeah,
that was the other detail.
All right, so no strip clubs.
Maybe. I've been to a strip club with my wife before, but maybe the text line, you know, they put something out there about like, why would Pace's wife be there? Because that was an interesting thought, because the dinner after the interview, Ted and George were not a part of. It was just Pace and Nagy and their wives and Pace said it felt right and the wives were off talking and they were talking and everybody was having a good time.
I loved that, by the way. I love that because you got to have that moment where you can talk about stuff without the bosses looking over your shoulder.
Right. That was a big part of the reason that so many people were upset about George and Ted being involved in the interview process was the meddling of upper management, basically.
Yeah. So,
So did Pace's wife go on all the interviews? Like, was she in?
I don't know.
Was she in New England in case it was McDaniels? Was she in Minnesota in case it was Pat Shurmur? Like, I don't know the answer to that.
I like to picture George, Ted, and Ryan just as a threesome having just kind of banal road trip adventures like any of us have had. Like, all right, we need a restaurant. And one of them, you know, George is in the back looking on Yelp looking,
reviews,
looking around, where should we stop? And they go someplace and the service is terrible,
playing
but they
laugh.
Playing
the license plate game and like all things you do on a road trip or
right,
something like that. Yeah.
Right. All three of them are at the truck stop. You know, one of them grabs the corn nuts. The other's got like four Slim Jims. Like, really? Really? He's got a stink in the back seat. What, you know, there's that. I need that. Either that or Thelma and Louise-esque, like, capers and adventures. So somebody write the three-man buddy film, please, for me, of George, Ted, and Ryan.
So let your imaginations go there. Text line 67011. But then this piece of audio from the afternoon show was just sublime.
This is Michael in Springfield on The Score. Hi, Michael.
How you doing? Every Sunday. My daughter is 2 years old, has never known a winning season. Okay, her name's Hallis from Great Papa Bear Hallis.
You name your daughter
name
Hallis,
your
brother?
Daughter Hallis?
Hallis Wolchek, L-A-S. H-A-L-A-S, Wolchek. Born and raised in Chicago. She's born in Springfield, but she doesn't know winning series, period. And it's sad. It makes me sad.
You named your winning culture. Daughter Hallis?
Yeah, it's tough. All right, Mike. Be well, man. And I wish the best for your young daughter.
Oh, no. No. His other daughter's named Butkus. This is my daughter, Italian Beef.
And her twin brother, Gyro.
Super Taco and Sausage.
When Dan said twin brother Italian Beef, you would have thought that I had like exclusive new Chappelle content. Like, I thought that was the funniest thing ever. That was an incredible call.
What makes Hallis a girl's name?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. Like, listen, name your kids whatever you want. Jay, your story of the Bears, is that an off-air story or not?
I don't know the person. My wife has a friend who has three Bears-themed children. Hallis, not the same family, oddly enough. Peyton and Briggs.
Oh.
Briggs. Briggs is amazing.
I know a kid named Peyton and a woman who named her son Peyton.
Peyton is a name of a person.
I know, but
Peyton's a reasonable name.
But Peyton, I believe her Peyton that I know is named after Walter. So, yeah.
This is my son, Peanut.
Sterilize all of them.
Oh, come on.
If you can't name a child properly, you shouldn't be allowed to procreate.
This is my daughter, Adewale Agunlia.
Brother Olin.
This is my daughter, Refrigerator. You know, that's an appliance. Well, whatever.
It's just incredible.
I'm sorry. My wife just texted me. It's not Peyton. It's Madden. M-A-D-D-Y-N. For a girl. So named a kid after John Madden.
Man. That's incredible.
Madden, Hallis, and Briggs.
And Briggs. This is my son,
Italian Beef.
Warwick Holdman Spiegel.
Well, no, you went with the food category. Sandwiches.
I didn't.
The famous sandwich of the Reuben.
I didn't. It's perceived that way.
There was a blog and a sandwich and a son.
And a dead mother. All right.
I always forget that part.
How do you feel?
I feel fine. Because I think it's a lie.
Whoa!
I think it's a convenient omission.
Shut your dirty whore mouth.
Yeah.
You think it's a lie?
I do.
Well, the story is the way I found out Ruben's name is someone wrote Spiegel on Facebook, "Hey, congrats on little Ruben."
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that's so funny that he would say that because you love those sandwiches so much.
Right.
And you're like, nope, that's his name.
That's his name.
Yeah. It is.
I like that name.
Okay. It's a great name. Yeah, as is Peyton.
Continue to besmirch the legacy. I know.
She was a looker. You showed me.
Yeah.
The trip to your apartment.
I know that I should have gone with Hillenmeyer. Hillenmeyer Spiegel.
Yes.
Now, would you want to be the one to have to take Briggs out driving?
Oh. Driving lessons with Briggs.
Too far.
No, not at all.
Too far.
Way to go, Cappy. It's time for driving lessons. Number one, never leave it on the highway. No matter what, take accountability just in case.
Let's go to Aurora. Todd is on the score. What's up, Todd?
Oh, God.
Hey, guys. How
named
are
after
you?
Sauerbrunn?
Well, what's that?
Nothing. Never mind. Go ahead. What's up, Todd?
Well, I was just calling in to voice my frustration on the Bears hiring Matt Nagy for the head coach position. Because he's, and I guess I should preface this by saying that, you know, I don't study stats, but I do play fantasy football, and I know that he is just an offensive coordinator. So I think maybe a better option would have been Josh McDaniels.
Also an offensive coordinator?
Well, I had Tom Brady on my team last year, and he did really well. And I know Josh McDaniels works with him, so he probably knows more about the game.
Well, Todd.
And they've won some Super Bowls as well.
That is true. They have.
So,
are you being serious?
With Josh McDaniels, yes.
Okay.
All right, but you're being serious with your reasoning. Like, if you had Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce, you might like
Yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill had 1,200 receiving yards, 75 catches, 7 touchdowns. Pretty good.
Well, I don't know about all that. But
Kareem Hunt was the leading rusher in the NFL.
Sometimes you have to go with your heart over what stats are saying.
But you're fantasy's saying stats.
Fantasy's about stats.
Well, it's about... Well, the coach made Tom Brady better by working together.
Who else was on your fantasy team, Todd?
Well, I had some players from the Packers.
Mm.
I started off by getting Tom Brady, and then the second round I got Aaron Rodgers, and that didn't work out too well. But
play two quarterbacks. Okay. Well, maybe Mike McCarthy will come available next time. Thanks for the call, Todd. Appreciate it.
Oh, okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Go Bears! I mean, it's a thought.
Was it a bit? I don't think so.
I don't think it was a bit.
I don't think it was a bit.
I don't
know.
That was not a bit.
That's why I wanted to probe around a little bit.
That's when I know. That's when I start to feel bad. when it's not a bit, and it's just like that's the thought process. I'm like, oh man.
I think he's onto something.
I can't just make
fun of
that.
Let it play out, Speaks.
Yeah, let it play out.
I mean, I can't make fun of that while he's on the phone. You know what I mean? We got to hang up so then we can comfortably do it like the jackasses we are. Like,
let's see how it plays out.
Let it play out. Oh, we missed it today. It's supposed to be at the beginning of the 11 o'clock hour.
It's really the show. It's our sensibilities and our willingness to approach things with logic and reason and not just be reactionary. We let things play out on this show.
That was incredible.
It really was.
Mm-hmm.
It was. Aggressive drafting strategy for quarterbacks, too.
Taking Tom Brady?
Brady Rodgers. Back to back. Where's the second round?
I bet there's only one quarterback in that league.
Right, he wanted to secure the backup quarterback position, Campy, because quarterbacks win championships.
Oh, my God. All right. John Moon Mullen has it on Twitter. Hearing whispers about a certain coach. Jay Zawoski, you just 10 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago.
I don't have it.
Tweeted the song. John Moon Mullen, hearing whispers that Harry Hiestand from Notre Dame is likely the next Bears offensive line coach.
Hiestand, what do you do at work?
Was that the song?
Yes! Stitarium Stand. Hiestand, what do you do at work? Because the offensive line was terrible at the time. But Harry Hiestand he's incredibly well-respected.
Well, I mean, Notre Dame had...
Oh, that's an O-line factory right now.
Yes.
Seriously, I mean, Zach Martin and Nick Martin Watt from the Saints, and they got two top 20 picks potentially on their offensive line this past year.
Uh-huh. Quentin Nelson is the guard for them now, and he is a beast.
Harry Hiestand was in the NFL for a long time, including with the Bears. And he has run West Coast offense before as an offensive line guy. Is this it? Did you find it? No way. Or is this just a karaoke track?
What is happening?
Hold on.
What do you do at work? Yes. Can't block north. Any old direction. Wonder why our line is the worst. You're not doing good work. Can't block west. Think about your coaching. Wonder why our line is the worst. Cruz is confused. Orlando looks done. We need to blame someone. And you are the one. Cutler is going to be on the ground. His head will soon be rolling around. What do you do at work?
Can't block north.
Pick a new direction. May we suggest towards the defense? You're not doing good work.
Can't block west.
Think about the running game and please try to make it suck less.
Wow. I didn't know it still existed.
That's the best one we've ever done. It is so ridiculous.
Jay and Shep couldn't stop singing that to each other in here, so I saw the file. I have no idea, and I just hit play.
I thought some of those were lost forever.
That is awesome.
Oh, my God, and he's going to be back.
And we were so off with our analysis, because I heard probably a month ago Olin Kruge praising Harry Hiestand.
Oh, yeah. No, that's because our football guru at the time did not really know so much about the footballs at the time. He was talking about the offensive line. He was wrong. He was looking for everybody to be Tony Wise. If it wasn't Tony Wise, he didn't know what the hell you were doing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I didn't think that we could go down from Todd's call, but we figured out a way.
Oh, you know that's dare you? Great.
I'm just messing with you. Of course, it was amazing.
There's add your voice in there.
Yeah,
that text says this parody is way too competent.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's why I didn't recognize it.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem is that when you do them like really competent like that, they're not that funny.
We'll talk to Bernstein and Goff next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.